Certainly thankful to be here with you this morning. Appreciate so much this opportunity to worship the Lord together, and appreciate that has gone before. You all look so nice this morning. It's a blessing for us to all get together in this way. And I'm sure what's on everyone's mind is, as we sang this morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we consider that, you know, that's the reason we meet on Sunday instead of any other day of the week. In the Old Testament, they met on Saturday, the last day of the week, the Sabbath day. And they did that to remember the creation. But after Jesus came out of that grave on the first day of the week, now in the New Testament, you find it on the Bible and in our practice, we meet on the first day of the week, every Sunday, to remember that day when Jesus came out of the grave. And certainly we remember that today, and I trust we remember it every day, that we serve a risen Savior, and what a blessing it is to know that, and what comfort we find in those words. I appreciate so much what Brother Luke has brought to our attention about that well. You know, in 1887, a well was dug here, and we are still rejoicing in that work today. We are still drawing water from that well today. I drank from that water this morning listening, you know, to Brother Luke's preaching. You know, in Isaiah 12, verse 3, he says, "Therefore, with joy, we shall draw water out of the wells of salvation." Now, that's what's happened this morning already. We've gone to the well of salvation that the Lord has provided for us. We've drawn water from the well. I'm thankful for laborers like Brother Luke, who will draw that water out that we can drink. And he does that with joy, and we all do that with joy. That, you know, I've heard if you enjoy your job, you never work a day in your life. And drawing water with joy out of the wells of salvation certainly is not hard labor, and it's something that we enjoy doing. But I'd like to turn your attention this morning for a little while to Proverbs chapter 29. I like to notice a verse here in the 29th chapter of Proverbs, and that is verse 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. It says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." In this verse of Scripture, we are told that the fear of man bringeth a snare. It's a trap. It's a pitfall to be afraid of men. And I could point us to many Bible characters who fell into this trap of being afraid of man. You can go to the end of Matthew 26 and read about the Apostle Peter, of all people, who got afraid of man and denied three times that he knew who the Lord was. He fell into the trap that Satan had set. You know, I've talked to some folks who have tried to trap animals. And they'll tell me, well, this particular animal you have to trap this way. This particular you have to trap this way. If you're going to trap a coyote, I've heard, I've never done this, you put a stick in front of your trap because that coyote will not step on that stick. He'll step over it. Right into your trap. But how do you know all that? You've got to study the animal. Well, I'll tell you, you've got an enemy who's studying you. Satan and the devil is studying you and trying to trap you. Well, this verse tells us the fear of man bringeth a snare. That's a trap. It's a trap to be afraid of anybody. I'm thankful to be around people that I don't believe are afraid of anybody. When I was over at Middleton Creek as a boy, there's a deacon there, Brother Alfred Cawthorn. And we asked him one time, because he was the kind of, you know, I don't know. He'd see a snake and he'd just grab it. It didn't matter if it was poisonous or not, he'd grab it. And eventually we finally asked him, "Are you afraid of anything?" And he said, "Well, I fear the Lord and I'm afraid of the devil. That's about it." I thought, my goodness, but that, you know, someone who's not afraid of men, that's a very strong individual. I think about some like even like Abraham, who was afraid of the people. If you go to Genesis chapter 12, afraid of the people, and he lied. He got Sarah to lie whether she was his wife or not. He got afraid of men, and it changed his whole mentality. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You become afraid of people, then you become their prisoner. Fear brings bondage. And here we see this text tells us the fear of man bringeth a snare. But in contrast to that, here's the opposite of that. This is the place where we ought to be. He says, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Putting your trust in the Lord, that's where we need to be. I'm going to tell you, putting your trust and confidence in the Lord is a place of safety, as this text tells us. Putting your trust in the Lord. I'd ask you this morning, who do you trust? You know, trust is something that has to be earned, not something that you can just get on a whim, but trust must be earned. Who do we trust this morning? You know, if we truly trusted the Lord like we should, we would never be afraid. We would never have any kind of fear or anything come upon us like the fear of man or the fear of anything else if our trust truly was in the Lord like it ought to be. You know, we sang this morning, great is thy faithfulness. You know, the ones that you ought to trust are the ones who are faithful, the ones you can depend on, the ones you can rely on. Those are the ones that you trust. Well, I'm going to tell you, God is faithful. He is faithful. You can count on Him. And so therefore, put your trust in Him. You know, there are many benefits to the child of God who put their trust in Him. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 26, you'll notice something here in the 26th chapter of Isaiah. He says in verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, again, we're talking about trusting in the Lord. But what's the benefit here? Isaiah 26:3 says, God will keep you in perfect peace. Perfect peace. A peace that never stops. You're always in peace. Why? Because your mind is stayed on Him. That's where your mind is stuck. It is stayed. It is fixed on the Lord. And you trust Him. And then therefore, no matter what happens in this life, you're kept in perfect peace. Whether you're in prison, or whether your life is on the line, or it doesn't even matter, you're in perfect peace inside because your mind is stayed on the Lord. You know, I think about how a great blessing that would be. But we can see this in a real way when Peter walked on that water with Jesus. If you go to Matthew 14 and read about that, you'll find Jesus walked on that water with Jesus. But what was going on while he was walking on water? You know, I remember one time, our pond behind our house, the water level, if it rises high enough, the pier across the way the water goes over the pier. So we tried to get out there and take some pictures and videos of walking on water because they were walking on the pier, but the pier was under the water. It never really turned out. But that water was smooth. That was smooth water. But when Peter walked on the water, there was winds and waves, and it was a lot going on. That was not the time to be walking on water. That was, I'd enjoy walking on smooth water, you understand? But that ain't the kind of water Peter was walking on. He's walking on turbulent water. Well, he was doing fine while his eyes were on Jesus. But when he took his eyes off the Lord, he started sinking. I'm going to tell you what it takes for the child of God to stay in perfect peace the way the Lord provides it. You know, God is the author of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. You want peace, you want this perfect peace, it's going to come from God. I thank God that we have peace in this nation. I thank God we have peace in this church. I thank God for the peace we have in our family. But if you have peace, I'll tell you where it came from. It came from the Lord. Lest we ever forget that we have these things by coincidence or we just happen to have these things. No, dear friends, these are blessings from God that He's showered upon us. And we should, as Brother Joe told us this morning, not take this for granted. Don't take these blessings for granted. And don't forget that He is the source of these blessings. Don't think it's because of what we've done or they just happened upon us. No, He's the source of these blessings. If you have perfect peace, your mind is stayed on Him. He is the source of that. Verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever. I'm thankful for what Brother Joe mentioned about what he said. If we're going to live with the Lord forever, why would we not start here in the church on Sunday morning? What a blessing to come to God's house, to be in this place where the Lord shows His smiling face. And His presence is felt here in this place. Trust in the Lord forever. If we're going to do that in heaven, trust in the Lord, why not do that now? Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You know, there is nothing that is stronger than the Lord. Nothing that's smarter than the Lord. There's nothing better than the Lord. The Lord is the strongest, the best of any category that we want to talk about. In the Lord is everlasting strength, so there is no man that we should fear that is stronger than the Lord. I can point you to places in the Bible and places in history where people have tried to usurp their authority and try to exalt themselves, and that went on for a little while, but the Lord eventually struck them down. I'm going to tell you, the Lord is a place where our trust should be found. We can find another place. We turn to Jeremiah chapter 17, another benefit of trusting in the Lord here in this 17th chapter of Jeremiah. It says in verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabit it." Sounds like a terrible condition, but that's the condition of the man who puts his trust in man. Verse 7. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Verse 8. "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Notice the opposite description of the one who puts his trust in man. He's like this poor plant, this heath in the desert that doesn't have any water and is struggling to survive, versus the one who puts his trust in the Lord in verse 7, and the Lord is his hope, the Lord is his outlook for the future. He's like a tree planted by the waters, spreadeth out her roots by the river, and doesn't see the heat when it comes, doesn't see the drought when it comes, but her leaf is green and doesn't stop from yielding fruit. That's two opposite conditions a child of God can find themselves in. But the difference is, where is your trust? Is your trust in man, or is your trust in the Lord? You know, Brother Luke talked to us about this well and the water. Well, this man who trusts in the Lord is like a tree planted by the river. A tree planted by the river. Now, that's a place where a tree would want to be, planted by the river. Wouldn't you like, you know, Jesus in John 4, where Brother Luke had us, was talking about this living water. I'm going to tell you where I believe the source of that living water is heaven itself. That's the headwaters of this living water. And a tree planted by the river, that's a description of the child of God who puts their trust in the Lord, in the shadow of His wing. Like Moses, who is in the cleft of the rock, like the one who desires the close company of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, God, as Jeremiah 2:13 says, is the fountain of living water. You put your trust in the Lord, you are abiding near the fountain of living waters. You won't go through those thirsty, dry times. You know, I think it's important for us in teaching our children. You know, I know I've mentioned this a few times, so I'll just do it one more time. And I'm not going to make any promises about the future. But when I went out there elk hunting, I went ahead and geared up for the day. That meant I got food and I got something to drink. Got all these things because I'm going to be out there all day. And, you know, I had a pretty heavy load on my back. But that heavy load was of things that would benefit me. They were things that were not. I eventually got rid of the binoculars. I didn't need them. They were just extra weight. I eventually got rid of things that didn't amount to anything from where I was going because it was just an extra load. A child of God needs to understand that there is a load that you must carry. It's a load that is for your benefit. You know, what would it be if you thought you were carrying a canteen full of water and a pack full of food, And when you got to the desert, got to your destination, you open it up, and all you had was a sack full of rocks. And you get out your canteen and pour it out, and all you have in there is sand. Now, wouldn't that be devastating? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? You were toting around this load that was doing you no good. In fact, it was just hurting you more than it was helping you. Well, when the child of God does not, as Brother Luke says, trying to make it to money, the child of God doesn't come to the place where the well is drawn to fill their vessels, to carry with them for the journey. They don't come to the place where manna is showered down to fill their sacks, to go like Jacob, Joseph's brethren back into the promised land with the food that they carried with them. If you don't do that, what will sustain you while you're living out there in the wilderness? We need to be the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, so we'll be like this tree planted by the river. I'll tell you, there are benefits in trusting in the Lord. We could go to many other places, but we'll just go to a couple more. And back to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28 and the 25th verse. He says in verse 25 of Proverbs 28, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." Now, a proud heart, you know, someone who is interested in building up himself, that's the kind of person who's going to stir up strife when everything gets calmed down. You know, I mentioned to you before, I'm the president of our Little League group over there in Franklin County. And you know, it's amazing. We have all our different leagues, and you never know where the trouble's going to come from. This year, it's T-ball. And, you know, oh, goodness, I mean, they're 5 and 6 years old. What is the... Anyway, I want the scoreboard off. I want all these different things. Had all the coaches calm down about it, because the first game was a little rough. And then all of a sudden, a husband of a coach who wasn't even involved in this just jumps on there and lambasts me with all this. Oh, we used to pitch to them. We used to do this. We used to do that. And now we're just dumbing it down. We ain't teaching them nothing. I said, oh, my goodness. I had it all straight. I had it all figured out. But the strife got stirred up. And this gentleman, he's been known to do that. Just someone who's just out there ready to fight. Well, a proud heart stirreth up strife, but here's the difference. He that putteth his trust in the Lord, what happens to that man? He's made fat. Now, I am sad to say that this word fat is an ugly word today. You know, you can look at old paintings. You know, the wealthy people were the fat people back then. The skinny ones were the peasants, but some reason, that's just not... I was born the wrong time. I mean, I like eating, and I'm not interested in changing that. I just should have been born a few years earlier, I guess. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible definition of fat is: more having more than enough, an abundant supply. You know, Brother Luke talked about drinking from the saucer and your cup running over. I'm going to tell you, when I come here with the biggest empty vessels I can bring, because I don't want it running over. I want to be able to contain it and take it home with me. Yeah, I remember when they had that hurricane hit down there where Brother Joe Myers and his family and all of them were down there. The hardest thing we had was trying to get gas down to them. And the reason it was hard is you couldn't find a gas can that didn't cost an arm and a leg to buy to fill it up and take it down there. So I told Brother Joe, I said, "You just need to give us empty gas cans and we'll fill them up, send them back. Give us those empty vessels and we'll fill them up." I think about 2 Kings chapter 4 when this woman, this widow woman who had all this debt, came to Elisha and he says, "What do you have with you in the house?" He says, "Go borrow a bunch of empty vessels. Borrow not a few." And the Lord, all she had, she took her little cruse of oil and she filled all those vessels up with oil and sold it and paid off the debt. I'll tell you, the child of God, what you need to come to the house of God, you need to come with empty vessels, because the Lord's going to fill them up. He's going to fill them up to the point that you can leave here. You may come here empty, but you will leave here fat and full and rejoicing. What a blessing for God's people who came in the presence of Jesus and they were hungry, but they came and He fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes and had 12 baskets full left over. I'll tell you, that's the way it is when the Lord meets with His people. Those who put their trust in the Lord, they will be made fat by the Lord. Skip on down to the 30th chapter of Proverbs. And this is what he says here in verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. You may say, well, we're just under attack. We're under attack from every side. I'll tell you, as Brother Luke mentioned, our armor is on the front. We need to be advancing. If you're, you know, I think about those old wars and even going on in Ukraine right now. That here you have all this weaponry, all these things firing at you, and yet you still advance. Isn't that amazing? I tell you, a soldier's got a lot of courage, a lot of bravery to be able to do something like that. It takes a lot of courage. You know, I go out and I hunt animals, but I have not had any of them shoot back at me. That'd be a whole different story there. I'm not sure I'd be interested in doing a lot of hunting if they were doing that. But I tell you, these soldiers who go out there and fight and attack, even in the face of such an opposing enemy, it's just an amazing thing. But what if you have the Lord as your shield going in front of you? I'll tell you, that wouldn't be hard to advance with that kind of a shield going on in front of you. You know, Lord, in many places in Scripture said, I will go before you and I will be your rearward. I mean, in other words, I'm going to cover in front of you. And I'm going to cover behind you. What do we have to fear? Our trust should definitely be in the Lord because He can handle any obstacle that comes our way. And in fact, He knows what those obstacles are. Back to our text, Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Here's another blessing of putting your trust in the Lord, as you'll be safe. Safety. You know, that's something this world really wants. They really want safety. I remember when I worked for the government, we had to have courses on not tripping over electrical cords. You know, I thought, goodness, we have to tell people this? We have to warn them about this? I mean, just in the name of safety, we've got to be safe. I thought, we have really stooped to an all-time low. If we have to warn people that the coffee is hot, we've got to warn them about this, about that. Don't stick your finger in that. I mean, goodness. Just be safe. What do we have to tell them about that? Well, I'm going to tell you, true safety comes from the Lord. The Lord is the source of safety. If you back up to Proverbs 21, verse 31, it says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. There's the source of safety. You want to be safe, and you want to be kept safe. The Lord is the source of safety. Notice that verse one more time. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. Safety is of the Lord. All right? I'll tell you how I apply that at my house. Now, if someone comes to my house unannounced, and I don't know who they are, I know I'm told not to do this, but I have a loaded gun waiting. Now, I am not counting on that loaded gun to save me and my family in that time. I'm counting on the Lord to provide the safety, but I got the horse prepared for the day of battle. If someone comes, there's a loaded gun waiting. But I'm not counting on that, you understand. I'm too clumsy. I probably couldn't get there in time. I'm not counting on that. My trust in the Lord, but the horse is prepared for the day of battle, you understand. But safety is of the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 4. Notice what he says here in the fourth Psalm, in the last verse, verse 8. He says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. How can you sleep at night? How can you sleep and be able to rest with all this turmoil and all this stuff going on? How can you lay down in peace? How can you sleep? Well, here's why. Because the Lord maketh me dwell in safety. Safety comes from the Lord. Peace comes from the Lord. We have these things because we have the Lord. I want to go to one other place and then we'll come to a close here in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 13, very quickly, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now notice that phrase we say a lot, and because we trust in that. The Lord says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Is that some reassuring news to us this morning? The Lord said He'll never leave. He'll never forsake us. He will never leave us, never forsake us. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. This is what we can say this morning. The Lord is our helper, and we don't have to be afraid of man. We don't have to be afraid of what they might do to us. We don't have to be afraid of that. We don't have to be afraid because our trust is in the Lord, and the Lord is going to keep us safe. I'm going to tell you, that's good news for the child of God, to know that your safety is of the Lord. And the Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. May the Lord add His comfort to these words. I thank you for your good attention this morning.